You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This podcast is brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Tuesday, incorporating the Tuesday trade is the 5 o'clock shadow and the double-header dream team of David Shapiro, the deputy chairman at Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg, and also Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. Gentlemen, how was the day after the Labour Day? And I'll start with you, please, Nick Kunze.
Well, morning, guys. Sorry, evening, guys. It was
here we go.
No, it was one of those. It was one of those days where we would be okay, and then all of a sudden, sort of heading in towards the U.S. Open, the stories were coming up, and as the futures been down 3%, there's a rejigging of the S&P 500 as well. So Tesla was apparently not omitted. So a lot of guys had to reweight their balancing. That stock down 14% pre-open.
Goodness me!
So there's quite a few big swings before the open, and that sort of put a bit of red on our screen, because otherwise it would have been not a bad day. We had really nice results out of local SA. We spoke about this morning, ShopRite, not so bad numbers out of Aspen, and a little bit of a positive slant to SA Inc. for a change, even despite the most horrendous GDP numbers.
But the GDP numbers, I mean, it's all retrospective, of course. David, over to you, David, on the GDP number. I mean, 51 point whatever, it doesn't matter anymore. It's looking forward. If I was an international investor, I would say to myself, okay, there's two pieces of very important data today. Number one, a retailer called ShopRite, which is a fantastic retailer. I mean, world class, better than anything I see in Europe, I have to tell you. Number two, the GDP number. And I'd say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take ShopRite every single time. David, over to you on that one.
I like ShopRite, no doubt. Very good operation. And there's nothing to, you know, there's nothing to challenge in the results. Lindsay, the only problem is that if you're a foreigner, as you say, and you're looking at the GDP numbers, admittedly, they're retrospective. But for a country that is already on its knees, this is not the kind of news you want to read. And the problem is, are you going to put your money into our bonds? And I don't know where bond rates finished. You know, the rand came under pressure because the dollar was stronger.
Yeah.
But what concerns me is we're already stretching our banks. You know, we're already stretching the savings of this country. And until such time as we get foreigners coming in to buy our bonds and to prop up this economy, is going to be tougher. And that's my big. I don't, you know, Nick. I don't know whether you got the bond rates. What happened?
Yeah, I'll bring them up now. But you know, for me, if I can just add to that. Firstly, you're right. It was very much a strong dollar for most of the afternoon session. I mean, I saw headlines: Turkish lira hits me an all-time low, Mexican peso all-time low. Mm. So, Indian rupee all-time hitting lows for the year. So, South Africa with that emerging market, but also obviously, I think a percent or so of the extra was ours. Mm. And then people forget, we've mentioned a couple times, you know, we were in a technical recession before COVID. We had two quarters of negative back-to-back GDP readings. So we were ready on the back foot going in, and I think this has just made it worse. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're going to put money in an emerging market, I think South Africa is pretty far down your shopping list, to be honest, unfortunately.
Well, Lindsay, the other big story was a mammoth drop in oil.
I mean, 9% at one point.
Well, as soon as Saudi Arabia says it's pumping a little bit more, I mean, obviously they're doing it behind the scenes because they're a little bit sneaky. All oil producers and oil traders are a little bit sneaky. But when you get the hint from the news wires that they're pumping a little bit more than they should do at discounted prices, then it's an easy trade. I mean, Nick, you would know this. Yeah. Just sell.
Yeah, but that has an impact on the U.S. markets. You know, you've got Chevron, Exxon, Schlumberger, whatever you call them, Apache, all these companies which used to make up or used to have quite a weighty influence on the index, you know, on the major indices. Yes, it's they've lost their they're not as big as they used to be, but it does drag down the market. It does put a negative on the market. So, and this was big. I mean, these are big plunges. It did follow through to some of the other, you know, to aluminium and copper and nickel and all those other ones, all down, you know, heavily. A lot of the big metals are down as well. So, don't forget that side of the market. Is, you know, besides the tech shares taking a knock, and then we also had quite a big sell-off in. I'm just looking here. They came on my screen now. NYMEX 8.2% down. That's, and Brent 5.7%. That's big. I mean, that's a big stuff.
Tell me something, you two. I mean, David, you're the one that says, well, these are just little blips on the charts. But I'm looking at the NASDAQ futures down 2.2% at the moment. I'm looking at the S&P futures, which are down 1.5% down for the S&P 500 futures, 3365. These are big moves, both of you. So. Nick, off you go. And then David, come in after that.
Yeah, well, the NASDAQ for me was the big one. So the FANG shares. So, I mean, David tweeted a story out last week, which has been picking up momentum over the weekend regarding SoftBank picking up these massive upside calls and options on the FANG shares.
Yes.
And it's difficult to ignore. And, of course, the market's smelling of a blood the last few days. We didn't probably get the full extent, as we now know that Miyoshi's son's hand has been exposed as a card table. We know exactly what he's holding. I don't think we got the full extent yesterday with the U.S. being shut for Labor Day. But clearly there's a bit of fun and games happening now, because pre-open, every single one of those shares that we know he's long options in was down 3 to 4%, and Tesla down 14% pre-market. So, I mean, classic marketplace, you know, sniffing blood, squeezing on his side. And the banks took apparently a $4 billion sort of rout off the back of it. And obviously on the other side of that, the banks don't like to be told to lose money. So this is quite an interesting one. So that's where the sort of tone was set with the NASDAQ coming in. And you do feel that maybe there's a little bit more froth to come off of this. I mean, some of these shares, I mean, Apple, even given the drop down at 116 now, I mean, it's still up close to 65% year to date. So it is, in that respect, it is a bit of a blip on the year for some of these big caps.
Okay. Let's have a look at the South African market today.
So in case you're interested, yeah, 10-year benchmark closed 9.255%, yeah.
Exactly.
So 3.5 pips on the outside.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with that one, actually, because I've got my trade of the day coming up, and I'm itching because I'm doing so well on my first real trade, and that's a 3400 December put on the S&P 500. But anyway, I'm too excited to talk about that. David, have you ever heard of two numbers, 60 and 60?
That's ShopRite.
Exactly. Nick Kunze tells me that this is one of the reasons why there's been such an enthusiasm for the ShopRite stocks today. Who wants to take over here? Actually, Nick, you take over here, because tell me about 60/60. Tell us.
Yeah, I mean, we dialed into the call and we actually really liked the stock. And I thought, I don't remember, a few weeks ago, they came out with a trading update in line with all the other retailers. And they came out with a number that I thought was quite eye-opening, that they had been taking market share from Pick and Pay for 8 months in a row. So for 8 months, every month, they were eating Pick and Pay's lunch. And I thought that couldn't be ignored. And then I started asking around, and there's this new app they got called the Checkers 66 app, as in spelled S-I-X-T-Y, then the number 60, and the rewards program. I mean, just looking what so far, since they launched this just over a month ago, they've downloaded 620,000 app of people have downloaded that app. And I'm hearing not just from the research side, I'm hearing from colleagues of mine. So it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. If you live in the major sort of metro areas, Joburg, Cape Town, Durban, you go and you pay $40 and it's delivered to your front door within 60 minutes, so they don't charge you delivery fee. And I'm really hearing good things. So it just shows you, tying in, David, you can come in on, you know, some people are adapting to this new environment.
Exactly. You know what it is, Lindsay? It's made us think differently, and that's where you've got to reward the businesses who have adapted and said, "Okay, we're going
exactly what we said this morning."
Exactly,
adaptability.
You know, and when we get out of it, you better relook at your business model as well, because we're not going to go out of it the same way we came in. And I think this is where places like Checkers are going to win. And if they've got this, what is it called, 60/60, if they've got something
66
like this,
app,
they know exactly where you are and what you're buying. You know, and that's where you start to use data for your own intelligence, and particularly in areas. You know, also what happened, you know where I saw this, and just to digress a little bit, in New York, where in Columbus Circle, I saw the first Amazon shop. You know, in other words, sorry, bookshop. Yes. It was it's a physical bookshop. And what happens is that they know exactly what the people from that area like, what books they like. So when they stock, they don't, you know, they stock the kind of books that you in that area are going to read. And that's the kind of data, the use of data.
What data is the new currency?
Exactly,
isn't it,
yeah. So, you know, when you start to use it intelligently, of course it's going to push you ahead. But all credit to, you know, to ShopRite for doing what they're doing, and they
You wouldn't almost classify ShopRite, given its sort of, I don't know, embedded sort of history about South Africa. You wouldn't think of them like the most tech savvy operation, but they've really embraced this lockdown. They haven't, they've adapted. Also, I must be said, paying a dividend when a lot of other retailers didn't. And then you combine what you're saying now with their 620,000 application downloads. Link it up with that loyalty program they've got, the rewards program, 4.7 million customers. So that, as David's saying, every time they swipe their rewards card, it's their profile is updated, what they're buying. It really is, once again, building data, adapting to the environment, and quite frankly, almost top of the leaderboard today, and I say justifiably so.
Quite right, too. Also on the leaderboard was Aspen Pharmacare Holdings Limited. Their share price up 5.4%. David, over to you on this one, because it's not as if they've just bought something and everyone thinks it's going to be brilliant for the next 5 to 10 years. Actually, they've sold something, and they've sold it at a really good price. Mylan thrombosis agreements, $640 million or euros. Nick and I were talking about it this morning. Market loves it.
The market loves it because it's bringing down its debt.
Yes.
You know? that makes it very easy for the company. My worry is that I'm not I know the business very well, but I'm not quite sure what this all means down the line, whether they're going to have the operations that can actually allow them to grow. You know, when they sold their milk business or the infant milk business, that was a crown jewel, which they had to get rid of in order to alleviate the debt. So I'm not quite sure what these kind of deals entail, you know, whether these are almost desperate deals or fringe deals, or and what will be left of the business, you know, once this is all over and the debt is down, and say, okay, how are we going to grow this?
I'm sure there's a bit of concern with that, but I also get the feeling that a few years ago, you know, the bankers were probably knocking on their doors and saying, look, you're about to breach your covenants. The stock was 68 Rand a share. Mr. Saad and Gus Aldridge had to come out with some very, very quick decisions about how to keep their business going. Right. And kudos, and I've said this before on the show, you know, they were told they need to sell assets, they need to get their debt piled on, and they've been doing it. They have been doing it.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's a detriment to their business down the line, I don't know. But we all know this is not the same business as it was 5 years ago. It's not that high growth stock that it was. But a sale like this, I mean, this works out. I worked with the clever guys at Sunland, worked this out. I mean, this brings down their debt by 40%.
Yeah.
40%. It takes them from, I think, 60 Rand per share earnings down to about the high 30s. So it's a significant difference to their balance sheet. And I think you can take that as a positive against the fact that maybe long-term, they might have to come up with some new ideas.
Well,
to interrupt both of you, but on the other hand, you've got David Shapiro, the boring accountant, the bean counter, who has just been employed as a consultant to Aspen Pharmacare, and they've brought the debt down by a massive amount, just 40%, 40% in this one deal, but also 20-30% previously because of other deals that have been sold off. So what does David Shapiro say to Stephen Saad? Does he say, okay, we've embedded the business now, everything's fine, we got a little bit ahead of ourselves, and now we have the money and the balance sheet to go into the market again? What do you say, David, as the boring bean counter?
They're not going to do that.
I'm asking you, what would you say to them?
Well, I'm going to say, you know, what they have to do is now is what operations are left, in other words, after all these sales, and how is that going to impact us down the line? You know, in other words, are we ever going to get back to 440 share price, and are we going to get back to the kind of company that we were or people thought we were? Are we going to be a much smaller more efficient little pharmaceutical company. That's a bit unfair, though.
It's very important, what you've just said.
You know, when you start to sell your assets, as we've seen with Sasol, as we've seen with Aspen, as we've seen with all these other businesses.
Tongass Unit is the other one as well.
It's out of desperation. That's not out of strength.
Well, I don't know if it's out of desperation. I go back to my original statement. In this big wide world, these companies borrow up to their eyeball and all the rest of it. A lot of it's to do, I think, with bankers who also have a bit of a push, or certainly a say on this. You know, when you are getting close to these covenants, you get the impression. I mean, I got the impression that with Sasol, that they were very, very they didn't want to do a rights issue. We heard management speaking, and they were basically hinting that it was against their better wishes that they had to. They've been told to sort of make a plan and sell part of Lake Charles. And I don't know what it is with Aspen, but you also probably get the impression they were told, you know, when the stock was 65 bucks, make a plan. You know, you're about to breach your covenants, and that's not good.
Absolutely right. But now you have to say, okay, well, let's pick up the pieces and see what's left of us. You know,
This is a very different company than it was at 400.
That's exactly.
Likewise, but I think people who are looking at the share now must be, you know, get rid of the history here. It's not the same share or company as it was 10 years ago. It didn't have those growth trajectories, and it's unlikely to see $400 a share anytime soon. So bear that in mind, you know, when you're looking at this company. But I still want to put a positive spin and say, I think there are management are certainly listening to the marketplace and doing what's been asked. And you can see that once again. On a day like today with a bit of a rout in the markets, the share's up 5.5%.
But what we'll see in the next 2 to 3 years is the share price at 175 or 180 in dollar terms, something like that. It won't be one of these big spike up because we're buying this thing in Hong Kong or China, we're buying milk businesses in New Zealand and that sort of thing. The point is that it's not going to happen. It has to consolidate. Uh-uh. And that's probably quite a good thing. And it'll pay dividends and Stephen Sard will relax. Which he hasn't done over the last few years, I think.
No, he hasn't. You know, his the company has been under huge stress. But don't you know? I'm not. I've been a fan of Stevens for a long time, and at one stage we did own the shares. My concern is that they've been through a major rupture, and the thrombosis business was one of their main pillars. You know, they had three main pillars: was the milk business or the infant milk business, thrombosis,
milk formula,
and the thrombosis. What's the other one? The blood thinner. No, that's a blood thinner one, and the anesthetics. You know, those are the three pillars on which they were going to build their future. Mm. Those were going to make them transform them from a generic drug manufacturer into a mainstay pharmaceutical business. So off goes the book business, and now slowly, you know, you're getting rid of little parts to bring down the overall those other two. So that's my concern is, okay, let's see the operations now. We've got rid of the debt. Great job. Let's get the operations pumping now and see what's left and whether we can actually generate pretty decent earnings.
If you want to thin your blood, working by the way, capital, if you want to thin your blood, just take an aspirin every single day. I've been taking aspirin now for the last 3 months, and I'm getting so many bruises on myself. I mean, I just bash into something, I get a bruise. And I went to the doctor, I went to an annual checkup or something, and he said, well, you've got these bruises. I said, well, I'm taking an aspirin every day. He said, that's thinning your blood. That's why you're getting the bruises. So if you want to thin your blood, you don't need aspirin. You need aspirin.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Terrible.
Okay. Dollarrand is 16.90. Goodness me, what's happened since we spoke this morning, Nick? Dollarrand is 16.93. Yeah. British pound against the rand is 22.07. Euro rand is 19.97. And the euro dollar is 117.90, which is a stronger US dollar, obviously. The gold price has suffered because of that. It's $1928 an ounce. The platinum price is $912. And the palladium price, Nick Kunzer, as you breathe heavily into your microphone, what is it?
Apologies.
Yeah, right.
2270 down 1%. I just want to add that gold did trade at literally close to 1907 at one point.
Yeah. Why?
So it's bounced $20 in the last 2 hours.
Well, because of the minor strength in the US dollar or what?
I don't know. I just feel I think a lot of it's to do with this dollar strength has caught a few people. And I also think a lot of it is you know, I think there's a lot of margin calls on the NASDAQ. I think there's a lot of margins in these FANG shares.
Yeah.
And I think the easy thing to do is to sell some, you know, nice and easy, sell some gold shares or some COMEX futures and just cover your margin. I think that's what's happening.
No. Okay. I've got the Dow Jones down and the S&P down and the NASDAQ down, but my screens are a little bit less efficient than yours. Again, Nick Kunze, give me the live prices, please, because, again, this is something that started last week, and we thought on Friday after the reversal that maybe it was all over and it was just a moment in time. But it's looking good for my S&P put, my 3400 December put. Go on.
This NASDAQ sort of tech rout, as they say, is certainly deepening. I mean, look at Tesla down 14%. Anyway, at this moment now, at 5:36, we have the S&Ps are currently down 1.87%, heading back to their lows of the session, down 63 points at 3355. The Dow Jones also down 1.6%, currently almost 460 points weaker. And the NASDAQ, that's the one we've been watching. It's off the lows, but it's still down 2.5%. It's about to break 11,000.
Okay. David, we spoke yesterday on Shapiro World, and you said 10 to 15% you would be happy with because it gives you the opportunity for people to come in and buy, and you can handle 10 to 15%. 20% you wouldn't be happy with. But we're starting to see, I don't know what it is off the high, but anyway, we're starting to see some significant downside movements. And also, is it a trend? Is it a momentum? I don't know. Is it just a moment in time, as I keep on saying, a very brief moment, a month of September, for example?
I think so. I just think it's a little bit of froth coming off. I don't, you know, it's always hard to call it a little bit of froth, you know, off the top and that. I still think that with interest rates at zero, eventually you're going to buy equities. You know, you're not going to want to buy. There are times now where traders get involved and you'll go into the bond market for whatever reason or you'll seek safety. But overall, nobody really wants to stay too long in something that's giving you a negative yield or a negative real yield. And I think that's our fallback. And it's going to continue. You know, with this kind of environment, where most of the large economies in the world are still have to get through this very, very difficult time. You know, we're going to see this trend for, you know, buying equities. But I don't, you know, for me, it needed to come. I can't, you know, I get very nervous of charts that just go straight up. You know, when I say straight up, like rocket straight up.
Yeah.
And it always corrects itself. You know, there's always a period of breathing, and you got to get through it. It's always unpleasant when you live through it, but this is it. You know, you want to be in the market, this is what you take. It's part of daily life.
Yes. Well said. Let's have a look at the big movers on the JSE today, if we can, chaps. On the upside today, we've had ShopRite up nearly 11%. What a mover. Mr. Price, I mean, just on the coattails of ShopRite, up nearly 7%. AVI, after yesterday's results, up 5 2/3%. Aspen, we've spoken about that share, up 5.4%. First Rand, up 5.25%. Fantastic moves from really these are South African companies we're talking about here. Altron on the downside, down nearly 6%. Sibanye-Stillwater, down 4.7%. DRD Gold, down 4.1%. Impala Platinum, down 3.8%. And Harmony, down 3.4%. Nick Kunze, what were the closing indices on this Tuesday, please?
Okay, on this Tuesday, we've just managed to close in the positive on the all share. The JSE all share by 38 points, 54,438. Top 40 tradable is exactly zero on the flat line, just down 2 points, 50,182. And it was quite a mixed bag, but we know where they're from. Healthcare, we know what that is. That index up 3.62%. Telecommunications having a decent day, 2.65%. Industrials as well, 2.5%. And financials, despite this weak rand, surprising, finding that index up 2.08%.
Value
on
traded.
The downside,
technology
shares down 1.36%, energy's down 1.7%, and utilities also lagging 2.54% on the downside.
I just got to ask Nick one thing, is that,
please do,
and it's been bothering me. I've been watching Spur, you know, and I've seen this. I've always loved Spur. You know, from the time when they were listed, I think in 1987, it's always been, it was run by Alan Ambler, and it was always a good, decent business.
Alan Ambler. AMLER?
AMLER. Amdur.
Oh, I see, a different person. Okay.
No, Amdur, yeah. Mm. And he was great. He was a hippie. He used to health fanatic. He used to walk along Clifton Beach. But it was, you know, it was always a good business and never let us down.
Right.
And just the last couple of years has just plunged. You know, it's just heading downwards. And two directors resigned recently, senior directors, as well as two non-execs. Yeah. And the share price just went, you know, went tilt. And so, I'm trying to say, well, what's the story? The fact, no one can tell me, but obviously these resignations did not come because people felt they'd worked too hard and they needed a break. And in the share price tells you something else. And you can buy this whole operation that's been around for how many years, 33-odd years and more, for like $1.2 billion, which is nothing. And no one can tell me the story. So, I blame it on their menu. But again, they did try and recover today but remained down, you know, at a multi-year lows.
Yeah, 52-week low is 1180, so they're not far.
But go back. If you can go back even longer, these are prices. You know, in 2017 they were down about 34 rand. You know, all the way now down to wherever they are, 12 or whatever it is, 1150. What, I don't know where they are. Anyway,
closed at 1250.
It's not good.
I just want to add before we finish off the show, the one that's been popped up on the radar the last few days is City Lodge. Actually, the biggest mover was bigger than ShopRite today. It was 16.6% up on the day. It's been extremely volatile.
Do you think it could be extremely the potential volatile. Buyer that you mentioned, maybe off air or on air? I don't remember.
I don't know. There's certainly some interest in the share, so keep an eye on it. Understand that they do apparently own all their hotels, all their land, and their buildings.
Wow.
And the astute out there are saying that the sum of the parts is certainly worth the current share price. And especially now since they've had a rights issue that they've now got money in the bank to see them through. So that might be one to keep an eye on going forward.
Okay. What was the value traded today, please, Nick?
Value traded was 21.96 billion rand.
Not bad. It was after, of course, a day off in the United States of America because we've only got about 57 days until the U.S. election. We have to have a look at the tweets from Donald J. Trump, at Real Donald Trump on Twitter. I don't know which one to choose, actually. He says the following, and this was 2 hours ago, it says here. My campaign spent a lot of money up front in order to compensate for the false reporting and fake news concerning our handling of the China virus. Now they see the
China virus.
Yeah, the China virus. Now they see the great job we have done. Yeah, 180.
Do you know that? Did you hear?
And it's before you tell me this, I have to complete this tweet. They see the great job we have done, and we have three times more than we had 4 years ago. I don't know what he means. And are up in the polls.
Lots of
dollars and energy. No, we don't know what he means by that. He says, now they see the great job we have done and we have three times more than we had 4 years ago. What does that mean? Anyway, he's obviously a bit high on sugar or something. Anyway, David.
The story, Lindsay, was that he's going to put $100 million of his own money campaign.
Yeah.
Into his campaign. He's only doing that out of weakness. He's nervous. He's very, very nervous. He's not making it through. He's come under severe pressure recently over his remarks at the cemetery in Paris, stealing all the little artifacts.
Stealing the artwork. I love that. He just like loaded up Air Force One with all the shiny stuff out of the embassy.
Yeah, in Paris. I mean, that has been there forever, but I mean...
you know that truck's called the Monster, whatever it is, his presidential car, called Monster One, whatever it is. I mean, the rumors are that he literally reversed it up, popped the trunk and started wheeling and all the things, all the shiny stuff, like a magpie. If it was shiny, it went in the boot and off he drove. I mean, literally straight out of the trailer.
But the thing is, he could have gone to New York to any shop and bought the things there because they were rip-offs. Exactly. Gentlemen, so much fun. Thank you very much for your time this evening. Nick Kunzer is from Sandham Private Wealth, and David Shapiro is the Deputy chairman of Sasum Securities in Johannesburg, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow incorporating the Tuesday trade, which incidentally I ignored, gentlemen, but I'm not trading because I'm short of the S&P with a 3,400 December put, and the S&P is 3,352, the futures market, that is.
Do you know what that actually means?
What does it mean?
So you are $50 in the money.
Thank you very much.
So you are, it's what they call intrinsic.
And it was 35.35 when I sold the S&P, by the way. So, I mean, I'm 200 points to the good almost.
You're basically intrinsic. So
I'm in the Bahamas.
There's no sort of leverage on it now. Yeah, it's going to get really complicated. It means it's a one delta. It's basically it's
well,
intrinsic.
This is what I asked you. Should I sell it and buy a further out the money put, like a 3,200 or something, or should I just leave it as a futures contract? In other words, point for point.
So this is going to convert, if it expires where it is now. This is kind of going to convert to a future.
Precisely.
So you will effectively receiving the equivalent one for one. That's why they say it's intrinsic now. It's gone beyond just being a leveraged option.
Yes.
It's so deep in the money. So it's up to you what you want to do. But most, I must tell you, most options, I would say 90% of options, people don't expire them. They literally just, they sell them before. Because you could sell this option now for 55 or 60, whatever it's worth, you know. 50 plus in premium.
Actually about 75-80% up on what I paid for it. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's my first trade and it's done very well. And I'll hold it
for
a couple of days. Anyway, gentlemen, thanks so much for your time. David Shapiro,
okay.
Nick Kunze, we'll be back on Thursday together. That podcast was brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.